We talked last week about how God has given a plan for reaching the world with the gospel. He who goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall surely come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves or harvest with him. Today I want to talk about the attitude of God, the heart of God. And that is always a perilous thing because God is beyond our imagination, but He, in spite of that, has an attitude that we are going to see so clearly laid out in Scripture today. Jeremiah 26, beginning at the first verse. Early in the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house and speak to all the people of the towns of Judah who come to worship in the house of the Lord. Tell them everything I command you. Do not omit a word. Perhaps they will listen. And each will turn from his evil way. Then I will relent of the and not bring on them the disaster I am planning because of the evil they have done. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. If you do not listen to me and follow my law, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, who I sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh and this city an object of cursing among all the nations of the earth. The priests, the prophets, and all the people heard Jeremiah speak these words in the house of the Lord. I want to talk about a single phrase today, and we're going to look at it numerous times. It's found in verse 5. Do you notice what God says? He says, and you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, who I sent to you again and again. And I want you to hear the heart of God. Do you hear the broken heart of God in this passage? Do you hear the words in verse 3? Perhaps they will listen. We often don't have God's heart. I was going to entitle this message, God Doesn't Give Up Easily, Do We? And I want you to see, because I know what's in our hearts, because I feel Satan's temptation. There is no temptation that has seized you except what is common to man. Just give up. Look what's happening all around us. They don't want to hear. I remember a missionary sharing his testimony a number of years ago. And here's what he said. He said, when I gave everything up, I went to Africa. And I thought I was going to Africa to save the poor heathen who were begging to hear the good news. And he said, when I arrived, I discovered that they were not begging to hear God's word. They had no desire to hear God's word. They were monsters of iniquity who loved their sin. And he said, and I was mad as all hop at God. And I thought it was a pretty poor stunt he'd pulled on me to send me halfway around the world to a place I didn't want to be with a people I didn't like to tell them a message they didn't want to hear. You don't have to travel to Africa to feel that way, do you? We have become so good at isolating ourselves. I was talking to someone just yesterday, and they were saying, well, I helped move my father down to his summer place, a little trailer park. They said it's almost like an old-fashioned block party there. Everybody comes out, and it's never a block party where I live. People don't want to come out, and they don't want you to come in. They're polite. They say hi in the driveway. They don't want to talk. They don't just want to talk about worldly things. Forget about talking about Jesus things. So much easier to just sit in that chair in front of the boob tube. Working two jobs. Tired. Long day. But God's heart is, Jeremiah, go speak to them. Perhaps this time they'll listen. Let me ask you, who is it in your life that hasn't listened up till now? Do you have in your heart they won't listen? Now, God, who knows everything, what's His attitude? I want you to see how often he says that. Just bear with me. It's a little repetitious, but you know, if God didn't think it was important, he wouldn't put it in this many times. He wouldn't say it again and again unless he wanted to hear it again and again, because he wants it to sink in. And most of us, it doesn't sink in until he's hit us over the head about 8 times. Or 80. Or 800, or 8,000, or maybe 8 million. Look with me at Jeremiah 7:13. Jeremiah 7:13. And we're just going to go right through the book of Jeremiah here. I want you to see this. Jeremiah 7:13. Here's what it says. Jeremiah, we'll begin at verse 12. Go now to the place in Shiloh where I first made a dwelling for my name, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you are doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you again and again. He didn't say, I told you once, you should have gotten it. He has every right. He's God. He has every right to say it one time and expect us to get it on the first time out, doesn't he? How many earthly kings in the days when earthly kings had absolute power? In the days when earthly kings could snap their fingers and a man would be dragged off and beheaded or thrown to the lions or thrown into a furnace or whatever else he said? How many kings repeated themselves again and again and again? And again and again and again and again. How wondrous God is. And no earthly king deserves that kind of power. They're just a man. Who cares who they were born of or what their father or grandfather or great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather did? Just because somebody was put on a throne doesn't make them any better than anyone else. But God, by his very nature, is so far above us. But God says, I called out again and again and again. Look at verse 25. Jeremiah 7, 25. Jeremiah 7, 25. From the time of your forefathers left Egypt right up till now, day after day, again and again, I sent you my servant, the prophet. Says, I never stopped speaking to you. I called you again and again and again and again and again. Look at Jeremiah 11, verse 7. Jeremiah 11, verse 7. We'll start at verse 6. The Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the towns of Judea and in the streets of Jerusalem, listen to the terms of this covenant and follow them. From the time I brought your forefathers up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again, saying, obey me. Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25. Let's begin at verse 2. Jeremiah 25, 2. So Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people of Judah and to all those living in Jerusalem. Do you notice how persistent Jeremiah had to be? He didn't just say it to a couple of guys. You know, so often my heart is so that oh, you know, I made a token effort, Lord. I talked to a person. How many times must he have repeated himself to be able to say with any integrity, I spoke to all Judea and to all those living in Jerusalem? For 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants and prophets to you again and again, you have not listened nor paid attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not provoke me to anger by what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. Now, Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt somewhere around 1400 B.C., about 1400, 1013-something B.C. Jeremiah is writing in the high 500s B.C., about 590 B.C. Let's call it 600. That means for 800 years, God called them again and again and again and again and again. Jeremiah 29:19. Jeremiah 29:19. even after the exile, after Israel was sent into Babylon, their temple destroyed, their city destroyed, their friends, their neighbors, their children, their wives killed in front of their eyes, the handful of survivors that were taken away, it says, Jeremiah 29:19. "For they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, words I sent to them again and again by my servants the prophets, and you exiles have not listened either." Look at 32. Look at 32, verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 33. Jeremiah 32:33, "They turned their backs to me and not their faces." Can you imagine the God of the... Can you imagine any human being turning their backs to a limitless king? Can you imagine walking into a throne room of Nebuchadnezzar or Cyrus or Pharaoh or Julius Caesar or Caesar Augustus, or Charlemagne? Can you imagine walking into the throne room and turning your back to the king and crossing your arms and going... Can you imagine doing that? God says, "That's what they did to me. They turned their backs to me and not their faces. Though I taught them again and again, they would not listen or respond to discipline." And lastly, Isaiah 35, verse 15. Jeremiah 35:15. "Again and again, I sent all my servants the prophets to you. They said, 'Each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow other gods to serve them. Then you will live long in the land I have given to you and your fathers.' But you have not paid attention or listened." You didn't listen. Now I want you, let's go back to 26, Jeremiah 26. And let's read this again. Jeremiah 26:3. "Perhaps they will listen." Perhaps they will listen. Do you hear God say, "Maybe this will be the time"? And you know what? God knows the outcome of everything, doesn't He? Do you? Can you predict anything about tomorrow? When I started this week, I couldn't have predicted that we would have had a car fall apart. You'd have asked me, "How's your week going to go?" "Oh, it's, you know, we're getting ready for Heart Cry, and we're getting everything ready, and boy, I'm so happy that the van's running so good, and, you know, it's going to be nice to go down. Oh, it's going to cost us a fortune for gas, but it'll be worth it to be able to provide a nice, safe..." Seven days later, God knows the outcome. Yet listen to what God says. "Perhaps they will listen." Do you hear the love of God for people? people that he reaches out again and again and again. Look at what this says. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Here's what God has that we often lack. Here's what God has that you and I often lack. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15. 2 Chronicles 36, 15. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again. Because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people. Now, it's really easy to jump to the wrath part. Yep, I guess we're just destined. But I want you to hear what God says. Until that day came, until the very day that came, I had faithful prophets who were standing there pleading with the people, who were saying to the people, turn, turn, turn. It's not too late. Only two wheels are off the cliff. You can still back up. Turn, turn, turn. God says, I did that because I have pity on people. Not on good people. Not on people that will listen. Not on people that appreciate the message. I have pity on people that aren't at all concerned. I have pity on people who are careless and unlistening. I have people who have heard it again and again. Look at these words. They mocked God's messengers. We often think, people, this is how people treat me, as though I'm the issue. I'm not the issue. You're not the issue. They mocked God's messengers. But whose problem was that? The messengers or God's? Whose problem was that? The messengers or God's? See, it's not about us. God says they mocked my messengers. They despised my word, God says. It was his words, not the messenger's words, his words. They scoffed at his prophets. God says, I sent them another one right after that. Again and again and again and again and again and again and again. So easy for us to lose that. I've tried. Nobody listens. God says, maybe they will. You don't know. Maybe tomorrow is the day. Oh, they've heard it 1,000 times before, but maybe 1,001 will be the one. Perhaps they'll listen. Perhaps it'll finally sink in. Now, let's be real honest. There is no one in this room that can't say it took again and again and again and again for you to come. There's none of us here that's saying from the day I was born right up until the moment I came to Christ, I was doing nothing but saying, God, please reveal yourself. God, please show me who you are. I was thinking night and day, praying night and day. I was just reading the Bible. I was crying out, please, somebody tell me. No. Every one of you were just like me, and we were just like them. We didn't want to hear it. We had someone get in our face and we said, get away from me. Or maybe we were real polite about it. No, thank you. We have a young fellow at school. We do morning circle every morning. And one of the things they have to do is guess the temperature up. And all winter, every day of the winter, whether there was snow on the ground, the 2 days there was this much snow, 64. 64. So this week, it finally was like around 64. So we said, okay, what's the temperature? Pointed to him, no thank you. No thank you. I don't think we'll get another temperature until it's about 90, and then we can go back to 64. Don't want to win. That would break my cycle. Don't want to go up to the board and fill in the thermometer. No, thank you. Boy, we're like that, aren't we? So easy to get stuck. I remember in my life when I was 12 years old, don't know why I remember it, just one of those Holy Spirit moments. David Clark went to a movie called For Pete's Sake, one of the very early movies that the Billy Graham Association put out. By today's standards, it wasn't a great movie. But it was a Christian movie in a movie theater. And some church paid enough money to rent that movie theater to put on the movie. Because the movie theater, there was only one screen back in those days. Wasn't going to show some Christian movie. The church had to rent out every seat in the movie theater in order for them to show the movie. And I sat through the movie and yada, 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 yada. At the end, they gave an invitation. Billy Graham gave an invitation. My friends went forward, so I did too. I don't know why we went forward. We had no concept of surrendering to Christ. But hey, that's what they wanted. So, and I can remember him trying so hard to preach the gospel, and I wasn't listening to a word. I know it all. Yeah, you can't tell me anything. I go to Sunday school. I know all about David and Goliath and Jack and the beanstalk and Moses and the walls of Jericho. And I don't know why God etched that in my memory, but he did. How many times did God try to call to me again and again? And again and again. No thank you. Sometimes I wasn't very polite about it. Maybe you weren't either. Remember the days when people used to come to the door from churches and try to come into your home and share the gospel? I don't need that. I have my own church. Bang. Some of you who have been in this church a long time before I came can talk about godly people that were in this church even when the gospel was not really being preached, who had a great concern for the Bible. And when they would talk about Christ, people would politely listen and then laugh behind their backs. again and again and again and again. And you know, God didn't give up on you. He didn't give up on me. He took pity. Do we give up? Matthew 24:12 says this, "And because iniquity will abound, the love of most will grow cold." Do you know what that looks like in the real world? The love of most growing cold is we stop having pity. We stop being like God. Can't be bothered. I want to show you how far God goes in this. Look with me at Isaiah 65. Now remember, I want you to get this timetable in there. Isaiah writes in the early 700s B.C., about 130 years. Anybody here been preaching the gospel for 130 years? A 130 years before Jeremiah. Isaiah's one of those guys that Jeremiah's writing about that says, "I came and I sent my servants again and again." Isaiah's one of the very ones that Jeremiah was talking about when he wrote those words. And in Jeremiah chapter 65, God speaks to the people. And here's what he says, Isaiah 65. "I revealed myself," beginning at the first verse, Isaiah 65, 1. "I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me." Who here asked for God? Nope. None of us. That's why this whole idea of preaching, well, if you die without Christ, you go out to a godless eternity. And the people go, "Woohoo!" I've lived my whole life trying to keep him out of my face, and I can go to eternity and do it perfectly? Yeah! There is no one who seeks God. There is no one who understands. "I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, 'Here am I! Here am I!'" Can you believe God does that? I never was a good ball player. I can't hit, I can't throw, and I can't catch. That pretty well encompasses, well, I used to be able to run. Can't anymore, but I used to be able to run. But I can't hit, I can't catch, and I can't throw. That pretty well eliminates baseball, doesn't it? Other than the Phillies, yeah. Do you know what baseball players and meteorologists have in common? They can both be wrong most of the time and still get paid millions of dollars. And I remember, now, I was smart enough as a kid to know you don't do this because you'll even look more embarrassed. But I can remember when they would pick up teams. And you know, when you're about 13 or 12 or whatever, and they're picking up teams, there is one thing you do not want to happen. To be the last one picked. Well, there's something even worse than that. And I speak from experience. It's when they go, oh, you can take him. Or even worse yet, you have to take him. If you want that guy, you have to take him with him. And the whole time that they're picking, you're going, here I am, here I am. Please pick me. Don't make me be last. Please pick me. Please pick me. Can you imagine the God of the universe saying that? I said to a people who did not seek me, to a people who did not ask for me, to a nation that did not call on my name, God says, I said, here I am, here I am. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Of the God of the universe doing that? Look at verse 7. All day long. Just think about that phrase. All day long, I held out my hands. You ever tried to shake hands with someone that didn't want to shake hands with you? You ever stick out your hand to someone that's being just cruel and mean, and they just stand there and won't take your hand? Can you imagine holding your hand out there hour after hour after hour as they snub you publicly? God says, that's what I did. That's what I did. All day long, I held out my hand to an obstinate people. God is under no illusion. God doesn't say, oh, it must be something I did. We're so quick to do that. We're so quick to blame another Christian for talking to somebody and they got mad. Oh, what did they say to him? What did they do to him? God says, no, it's not them. There's an obstinate people. And you and I either are or were part of that. God says, I held out my hand and they snubbed me to my face. All day long I held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good. Oh, who wants that old-fashioned morality? Pursuing their own imaginations. Ever have daydreams? But you know it's never going to happen. It's just stupid thought. Most of the world lives in a daydream. Look at verse 3. A people who continually provoke me to my very face. Are they shy about it? Are they backward about their attitudes? No! They stand in the God of the universe's face and they say, and God decks them the first time. No. God says, and I hold out my hand, 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 and I hold out my hand. I want to relate this to last week and then we're done. Here it is. I believe that one of the reasons we don't weep, the kind of weeping that brings a harvest in the spiritual world, is because we don't have the heart of God. we've lost the heart of God. And we can give all kinds of excuses. Well, I've tried. God says, yeah, I tried for 800 years. How long have you tried? And since God wrote these words, he's tried for another 2,000, almost 600 years, and he's still trying today. And you know what? Every day, God says exactly what he says in Jeremiah 26. He says, maybe today, perhaps they will listen. But you know what? They won't listen if we don't go. They'll have nothing to hear. I went once. I went 10 times. I went 100 times. God says, good start. Jeremiah, go back and tell them again. There have been other prophets, God. Yep. Go back and tell them again. But I just told them and they beat me up. Yep. Go tell them again. But when we lose the heart of God, we say, they've had their chance. You ever said those words? They've had their chance. As though God gives us one chance? Yeah, right. Which one of us would live if God gave us one chance or five chances? I'd have been a smoking crater of lightning strike years and years and years ago. Again and again. You got it? Have you got it? Let's pray. Lord, I marvel at your grace. We often think of grace just so superficially. Lord, the kind of grace you show to hold out your hand, to stand in line, like me as a ball player going, ooh, pick me, pick me, pick me. God, you don't have to stand in line. You don't have to say, pick me. You could just wave your hand and we'd all drop dead and then we'd see where we'd be. You reach out again and again and again and again and you don't give up. You don't give up today. You don't give up tomorrow. Oh yeah, you send judgment. You even send final judgment. But it isn't the first or the second or the third or the 3,000th or the 300,000th time. And even on the very eve of destruction, you send your servants to say, turn, 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 it's not too late. Oh God, may we share your heart. May we have your heart. They who go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, will surely come again rejoicing, bringing the harvest with them. God, give us hearts that have your pity so that we can weep for the lost, that our tears can fertilize the hard ground and break it up and allow people to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.